SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a glorious Tuesday morning, and it's time to rise and grind with us right here on the Early Line, SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. In the next 3 hours, we got you covered with the hottest topics across the professional landscapes here. We are ready to kick it off. I'm Donnie Wrightside. You know what? Davis Maddox back in here on a Tuesday. We're ready to go, Davis. How are we feeling this morning?
We are feeling great. The 76ers lose in a heartbreaking fashion last night. And the Nuggets don't cover the best bet. Obviously, they win. But we were up sweating late last night, Donnie.
By the way, like flipping back and forth to different things. Like I'm watching the Phillies. I'm watching the Sixers. I catch it back with the free throw line here with Kyle Lowry. And I'm like, okay, the Sixers won this game. I flip it off and I turn it back on, Davis, like 30 seconds later to catch the pregame. Like, oh, I'm excited for the Sixers' victory. And I see them losing when I tip back and just before Embiid missed that three-point shot. Unbelievable collapse, which we will get to in just a few moments here. But it's time for the 7-7, the hottest topics across the sports landscape. And that does include terror in Denver for the Los Angeles Lakers. They just can't beat them. Huge leads, late leads. It doesn't matter. The Denver Nuggets 101, the Los Angeles Lakers 99. They did it again to the Lakers, Davis.
And they're going to keep doing it. I mean, I think that we're going to talk quite about this series for the rest of the show, but Nikola Jokic, best player in the NBA. Really nothing you can do against the guy. I know that the Boston Celtics are over there in the Eastern Conference being like, can someone please take care of this Denver team for us? We do not want to have this season where we're the best team in the NBA by far ending at the hands of this Serbian unbelievable mountain of a man.
I mean, 27, 20, and 10, along with two steals here. And the problem I always get into, and we'll go dive deeper in a little bit later in the show on this one. Anthony Davis gave you 32 points, which is 14 of 19 from the floor. LeBron James was 9 of 19, but gave you 12 assists and 8 rebounds. And you still lost this basketball game. My goodness, toughness here for the Lakers as they go back to Crypto.com Arena here down 0-2. You know what another team's going back home 0-2? That's the Philadelphia 76ers in the same boat as the Los Angeles Lakers. For most of the game, the Sixers were the better team, or at least fighting for the lead here, and had a 5-point lead with under a minute to go and watched it evaporate on an 8-0 run to end the game for the New York Knicks. Key offensive rebounds, key 3-point shots going down. The Philadelphia 76ers angry at the referees, as Nick Nurse pointed out, I didn't get my timeouts. It doesn't matter. They lost that game 104-101, covered the spread, but didn't win the game outright here, Davis.
Yeah, and literally just about 37 seconds ago, it just broke that the 76ers are filing an official grievance with the NBA for the officiating. I don't know what they plan to have happen there. I will say, I still think I'd probably take the 76ers series price, man. I think Embiid is that good of a player that he can dig deep and get them there. 12 of 29 last night. But if the big fella really gets going, the Knicks, if he's scoring 39 a night, the Knicks are not going to have an answer for that.
It's like 35 points out of Maxey, 34 points out of Embiid. You lost that game. You make an extra free throw to go up 6 points. Maybe it's different, but an unbelievable collapse down the stretch. And as we said, like, yes, let's go ahead and put that, you know, hey, NBA, 1-1, headed back to the Wells Fargo Center. I think we all could agree on that and have some fun there. But let's keep it moving in the NBA last night, which another game under 203.5. No problem. Best bet winners here right on the early line. The Cleveland Cavaliers, 96. The Orlando Magic, 86. The Orlando Magic just don't have enough offense to keep up here in the playoffs. Another tough night from the floor. 18 points in the first quarter, 21 in the third quarter, 21 in the fourth quarter. That's just not enough for the Magic here as they only get 86 points in a double-digit loss to the Cavs.
The Magic might have the worst guards in the NBA. Of every team in the NBA, might actually have the worst guard rotation. Gary Harris, Jalen Suggs, Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, Joe Ingles. I mean, those guys combined to make 4 3-pointers, they all came from Gary Harris. They just have to find a point guard in the offseason. I don't care if they have to trade multiple first-round picks. I don't care what they do. They have a great defensive identity. I think you can even keep Gary Harris in that starting lineup. But it's a basketball roster that does not have a point guard. And how are you going to win that way?
I don't know how you're going to win also. The three-point line wasn't kind to either team yesterday, Davis. 9 of 35 from the floor were the Orlando Magic for 25%, and he took like a 12 of 39 from the floor for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, shout out this again. This is back-to-back nights, Davis. I've had this happen to me. To close out a parlay, because I didn't know if I was going to win the other couple legs of a three-point parlay, but I had them in the door. You take a look here, and it's Donovan Mitchell. I just need him to make three three-point shots. Did you know, Davis, he opened up that game 2 of 2, then missed his next 8 consecutive attempts here to finish 2 of 10 from the three-point line, so I couldn't cash that parlay. Like, right off the bat, he's got his 2, and I still wasn't able to win that. It's never over until it's over. Some tough luck I've been having here on three-point player prop parlays here. Let's move it over to the NHL. How about this? The Maple Leafs, 3-2 victory over the Bruins. The Hurricanes, 5-3 over the Islanders, which was a crazy comeback that saw them down 3-0 and scored 5 unanswered goals to take that game. The Golden Knights go on the road and take on the Stars. And then the Kings and the Oilers in a high-scoring affair, 11 total goals, which saw Connor McDavid have 5 assists in that game. Incredible stuff on the ice last night.
It was. The biggest upset there is going to be the Golden Knights getting game 1 over the Stars. The Stars were one of the best teams in the NHL regular season. And, I don't know how this works. I guess the Maple Leafs are kind of like the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Yankees, where like everyone on my timeline is somehow a fan of the Maple Leafs and just like losing their mind over how bad and how poorly they are playing on the penalty kill. I just always find that to be a little bit funny.
Pasta got a goal last night, chimes in for his first point of the playoffs, but that series also now 1-1, heading back to Toronto here. Let's take a look at the NFL. The trade market heating up. Well, I guess you could say it's heating up. The Jets trading Zach Wilson to the Broncos. Now, he goes over from the Jets, who we knew it didn't work out here. I don't know what he's going to do with the Denver Broncos or what the Denver Broncos even like. Help me out on this move here, Davis.
I mean, I feel like Sean Payton believes a little bit in his heart that he can fix Zach Wilson and turn him into the guy who was closer to what he was at BYU. But really, more than anything, it probably does signal that one of Bo Nix or Michael Penix, maybe Spencer Rattler, is in their sights. I don't see any way they go into the 2024 season with Jared Stidham and Zach Wilson as their primary quarterback options. There will be one rookie quarterback in the mix there for sure.
Yeah, you would think so. They're not coming in, and that roster is not finalized. And again, the draft starts round 1 on Thursday night. The Denver Broncos make a move to get their future signal caller after getting rid of, basically, Russell Wilson. Let's keep it out there in the AFC West. The Chiefs, how about this? Re-signing guys. Andy Reid, Brett Veach, and Mark Donovan. Mark Donovan, the president of operations. Brett Veach, the general manager. And Andy Reid, obviously, the head coach. Keep the band back together. Keep those winning ways going out there in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I don't really know what better news the Chiefs could have gotten before the NFL draft, because there's been rumors. It's kind of been floated out there. Andy might be thinking about retiring. You know, he just won 2 Super Bowls in a row. Maybe they give it one more go at it, and that's sort of it. I mean, Andy Reid is not a young guy. Now he's one of he might be the oldest coach in the NFL, actually, now that Belichick has moved on. I'd have to fact check that. So for me, as someone who roots for the Kansas City Chiefs, about as good as it's going to get. I think Veach, my performance review on him would be a little bit more mixed, like how much of his success is just because he did happen to draft Mahomes. But Reid, I do think for my money, best coach in the NFL.
It's pretty crazy. We're sitting here in 2024. Like, Andy Reid began his head coaching position with the Philadelphia Eagles in the late 1990s, still going strong and better than ever with maybe his best teams he's ever had now. We'll see if they add on in the NFL draft. How about this? Adding on to your trophy case, the RBC Heritage Classic, which was rain delayed, which finished yesterday. While we were on the air, Scottie Scheffler, 19 under, takes home $3.6 million. He just can't stop winning, Davis.
Yeah, so he and Nelly Korda each won again. Nelly won her fifth event in a row. Why don't we get them to play together in the Zurich Classic this weekend? Can we get a sponsor's exemption? I would love to watch these two play in some sort of best ball scramble.
I have to ask Keith Stewart that coming up a little bit later in the show to talk some PGA golf. But also, coming up next, we got to recap what happened last night in the NBA. It was absolutely amazing stuff going on, which includes the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. They are on deck. Let's talk about it right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here for the early line, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Davis and Donnie in the morning. We got a lot to get to here. We're going to start out in Denver. 101-99, a lower scoring game. The Denver Nuggets, I said it yesterday, Davis. I actually didn't think the spread would come into play. I figured either the Lakers would win outright or the Denver Nuggets would win by margin, such as double digits. That didn't happen. And quite frankly, the Lakers should have won by double digits because why? They were up double digits in the fourth quarter and couldn't hold on to this lead, even though LeBron James and Anthony Davis gave it their all. But when you take a look at a team that's cut from the cloth of the Denver Nuggets, fresh off an NBA championship last year, you just can't beat them down the stretch, and you just can't beat them at home, Davis.
No, you can't. And I think the Denver Nuggets, it tells us a lot about two things about roster building in the NBA. The first is, you know, obviously it does help to have the greatest player in the NBA, which is so funny because even as recent as like 2 years ago, you would have people being like, Jokic, he's so overrated. It's only the nerds who think he's good because, you know, he's so good in the vorps and the schmorps and the wars and all those things. He's, you know, not a good defensive player, yada, yada, so on and so forth. So obviously it does help to have literally the best player in the NBA. I think it's also a real indication of how important continuity is. I mean, this is the same rotation that they had in the playoffs last year with Peyton Watson subbing in for Bruce Brown. Other than that, it is the same eight guys who play every single night. That is a huge advantage in the NBA. Like, these guys know they've had the same coach. They've had the same defensive coach. They've had the same offensive coordinator. They know their sets. Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. I mean, it would be, I would love to see this. What would happen if they just played with their eyes closed for like 4 minutes of a stretch of an NBA game? I bet they would pretty much know where to be. Murray knows where Jokic wants the ball. Jokic knows where his shooters are going to be. That's part of the reason why Jokic is such a great passer. He knows where his teammates are going to be. He knows their tendencies. He knows where they want the ball. The Lakers roster is the exact opposite. I mean, they are chopping and changing. They're changing the starting lineup. Oh, Hachimura is in. Oh, we're going to play Torian Prince. Prince is going to close. Gabe Vincent, who is not fully healthy, has to play with his knee injury, scores 0 points in 15 minutes. And, you know, in the end, you probably don't feel this way. I feel bad for LeBron. I actually wish LeBron had way better teammates. I don't like the idea of LeBron being an eight seed. You know, I want LeBron to be on the best teams in the NBA.
I'm telling you, look, he's been absolutely outrageous, you know, as for his age, be doing what he's doing still at this time. And the question marks coming into the season, Davis, was, well, I can't play a lot of minutes this year. I'm getting older. Father Time's going to catch up. Well, he played a lot of minutes. He played 38 minutes last night in elevation. He was great. Here's what I want to ask you the question is, because moving forward, the Lakers should have won that game, but they didn't. And you look back and say again, well, what did the superstars do? 32 points out of Anthony Davis and 11 rebounds. LeBron James, 26 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell, who was terrible in game number one. Davis, 7 of 11 from three-point range he was last night, and the Lakers still lost the basketball game. So when we move into the next game, which is game three, as we set up the series, moneyline heavy favorite here for Denver, minus 2,000. You take a look if you want the Lakers and you think they can come back in the series, it's a plus 920 price. The spread now, Denver -2.5, Lakers obviously +2.5, and it looks like the favorite now is for this to be a gentleman sweep in five games at plus 150. But how do you come back for the Lakers when you had what you wanted out of your stars and you had a secondary player like Russell do very well and you still came up lame?
You know, sometimes these things are not that explainable via the box score, yeah. Right? Sometimes you can look at a game and be like, oh, you know, this team turned the ball over too many times. 14 turnovers for the Lakers, not great, you know, compared to only 9 turnovers for the Nuggets. They're rebounding. The rebounding was all right. I mean, they gave up 20 rebounds to Joker, only 11 for Anthony Davis, only 5 for Hachimura. But really, the explanatory variable here is just the Nuggets' experience and that they're really 1 through 8. They are a better roster. You know, maybe if Miami Heat LeBron James was here, you know, 29-year-old LeBron James got transported into this series, I think we would be getting some different results. The LeBron can be, on any given night, like the 9th best player in the NBA now, something like that, you know, as the literal oldest player in the NBA. But it's very hard for him in a series against Jokic, against Doncic, against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be the best player in a game. And the entire roster is constructed for one of Anthony Davis or LeBron James to be the best players in the NBA. You know, when they won the championship, Anthony Davis and LeBron were both first or second team All-NBA. I can't remember if they both were first team All-NBA that season. And it's just, you know, with LeBron, it was since he got injured. Remember when he missed about a month in the 2022 season? It's never really quite been the same for LeBron then in terms of being able to go like, we need 40 tonight. I'm going to go and get you 40. Yeah. Like, it's just not quite there. And what do you want from him? I mean, you know, I'm 31 years old. I find myself getting a little bit slower. You know, if I take a spill, it's going to take a little bit longer to get up. Like, LeBron is of the age where if a 40-year-old falls, that might take them out for a couple days. LeBron falls in the NBA game, gets right back up, and has to go, you know, be the point guard of the next possession.
You're getting older here. That's just like me. Like, it takes me a while just to sit in front of this camera for a couple hours in the morning here. But if we're looking at the box score itself, and you're right about this, answering questions where some things don't make sense. 49% from the floor, the Lakers shot. 44% the Denver Nuggets shot from the floor. Going from three-point range, 13 of 30 for the Lakers, 43%. 8 of 34 for the Denver Nuggets at 23%. It's amazing that they still ended up winning this basketball game. But you take a look at Michael Porter Jr., you know, personal life right now, swirling around with his brothers, not affecting him on the court. 38 minutes, 8 of 13 from the floor, 6 of 10 from three-point range for 22 points. He got that balanced scoring. Jamal Murray, 20 points, and had that unbelievable fadeaway over 80 to win that game. 27 points out of Jokic. We already know the timeline there. Triple doubles across the board. It's what he does. 22 out of Porter Jr., 14 points out of Aaron Gordon. They're just very well coached and stick together. And the train's not stopping here, Davis. I think you're with me. Like, that finals, you know, appearance is going to be tremendous when it's Celtics versus Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would not be surprised if the Denver Nuggets do not lose a game in the NBA playoffs until they match up against the Thunder. I think that whoever they end up playing in the second round might end up being cannon fodder. I think the Thunder are too good to get swept, and I'm rooting for the Thunder, obviously, but I really don't think the Thunder can beat the Nuggets in a playoff series either.
Crypto.com Arena game number 3. Lakers need it. Their kitchen sink game. We'll see if it works out in their favor. And also, in the city of brotherly love, kitchen sink game for game number 3 at the Wells Fargo Center, because the Sixers are down 0-2. Let's recap that game and what happened last night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How does it happen, people? How does it happen? If you are a New York Knicks fan, boy, you are loving life this morning. And Dante DiVincenzo, affectionately known on this program as Tay-Tay, is your hero. The big zero out there knocking down triples late in the game. But let's get started on this one. Philadelphia 76ers entered into this game, Davis, roughly 5.5, 6-point underdogs in this one. As we were doing the show yesterday and previewing the games, oh no, Tyrese Maxey not feeling well. Looks like he's under the weather. And then there's Joel Embiid with the knee injury, who was listed as questionable for that game. So theoretically, you might have been down your two best basketball players in game number 2. But both of those basketball players did suit up last night. Joel Embiid with a knee injury, 39 minutes played. Tyrese Maxey, not feeling well, 44 minutes played. Those two guys combined for 69 points yesterday in a Sixers loss. Why? Because they folded up down the stretch up 5 with a free throw to go from Kyle Lowry. And somehow, with 30 seconds left to go in that game, Davis, they lost here. A devastating blow to the Philadelphia 76ers as the Knicks take a 2-0 series lead.
Pretty devastating. I mean, if you're looking for someone to blame on the 76ers roster, don't think you can blame Embiid. 34 points on 29 shots, did get to the line 6 times. Definitely can't blame Maxey, who, you know, was one rebound shy of a triple-double while coming in. Questionable. How about Tobias Harris? 10 points on 11 shots. Did get 9 rebounds. You know, good for him. If I'm looking at what could Nick Nurse and the 76ers coaching staff do any differently? I mean, I think they're putting Embiid in good spots. I think Maxey is playing pretty well. I would maybe actually try and play a little bit smaller with Buddy Hield subbed in for Tobias Harris, because, you know, the Knicks are not playing these giant lineups. You know, Ananobi is not someone you're really worried about scoring on you in isolation. Like, I think Ananobi could get Ananobi could post up Buddy Hield and cause you some problems, but you might be fine with OG Ananobi post-ups anyway, right? Like that's not going to be the most efficient offense for the New York Knicks. What you don't want the Knicks doing is allowing 8 3-pointers for DiVincenzo, 7 3-pointers for Josh Hart. You know, Nick Bogdanovich comes in, took 6 3-pointers in 12 minutes. And Buddy Hield is going to be just as capable, you know, making those defensive rotations. I this is like fan fiction. I don't think there's any way Nick Nurse would actually do it. But it feels like Embiid just needs a little bit more space on offense. Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson are doing like a pretty stand-up job on him on defense. And, you know, Embiid only 10 rebounds in this game, so they don't even have the rebounding edge, which you should have the rebounding edge against the New York Knicks if Josh Hart's playing 48 minutes. I said this on the show yesterday. I don't think Hart is subbing out in this game, and he didn't. I mean, 48 minutes in a playoff game when theoretically, you know, the team wants to be playing 16 more playoff games. It's I know Josh Hart has to be hitting the rehab the morning after game. Like, that guy's got to just be dead.
I mean, he's been amazing. He really is. 15 rebounds yesterday, clutch three-point shots, went 4 of 7 from three-point range. And here's the devastating thing for the Philadelphia 76ers. Again, when you take a look at the Lakers' angle of it, you're getting great play out of your superstars. And even on the opposite side, right, you look at the New York Knicks and you say to yourself, Jalen Brunson played 38 minutes. Yes, he was a big part of that game, scored 24 points, but he was 8 of 29 from the floor, Davis. Like, they're winning basketball games, the Knicks, with Jalen Brunson just building brick after brick after brick house in the city, and it doesn't matter. That's what's demoralizing. And also, much like the Lakers, you're supposed to win that game late, even though the Lakers had that large lead and sort of dissipated as we went. If you would have told the Lakers, hey, give me a 5-point lead with a free throw with about 45 seconds to go, you would love that situation much better than just being up 20 points in that game. But the Sixers were in that predicament. Get a rebound, call a timeout, don't turn the basketball over. They could have won that basketball game, been 1-1 going back. Now, Joel Embiid, post-game press conference, says the series isn't over. We're going to win this thing. That's all fine and good. It's so hard to come back from down 0-2, particularly when you should have taken at least one of those games in the opposing team's building. But the New York Knicks got Hart. You could say that for him. And Josh Hart, yes, is one of those big-time performers in that lineup. I like what I see out of the Knicks, and I think this is the Knicks series now.
I mean, it's definitely the Knicks series now. They should be, yeah. They should be favored heavily. I think the 76ers series price is bettable. I mean, because if they win the next game, the odds are going to shift massively. And there's just so much. The interesting thing is there's so much history of recent Knicks playoff failures, but also so much history of recent 76ers playoff failures. Like, who has more of the pressure here? I don't know. Both of these teams feel a little bit neurotic to me.
Here we go. Sixers got to win game number 3. Lakers got to win game number 3. And also the Orlando Magic got to win game number 3. Famous song back in the day said, do you believe in magic? I don't think anybody believes in the Orlando Magic at this point right now. But we're going to recap what happened last night in Cleveland. Another victory. Spider Mitchell and the boys up 2-0. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cleveland Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic did battle last night in Cleveland, setting the table for this one. Cleveland came in about a 5.5-point favorite here, did cover that spread in a 96-86 victory. And also, I got a bad line yesterday, and it still didn't matter. At under 203.5, we see that line closing around 205.5, depending on where you're shopping at yesterday, and still easily cruises under that number. Why? Because the Orlando Magic just can't score the basketball, and I think the Cleveland Cavaliers understand that. 30-18 in the first quarter, it was a wrap from there. A great performance by the Cleveland Cavaliers, because why? They just keep winning. That's all you're supposed to do in the playoffs. So let's start there at this moment. Down 0-2 in the series for the Orlando Magic. You come into this game and you see Boncaro got his 21 points. Jonathan Isaac plays 20 minutes and only gets 3 points. Not a lot of guys stepping up. And as you pointed out, Davis, in that guard rotation. So before we get to the Cavaliers, is this the end of the road for the Orlando Magic? Was it just a nice season? They overachieved, but in the offseason, we just got to retool this team? Because if you're not going to score 100 points, you're not going to win very many basketball games at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that most people heading into the playoffs understood that the Orlando Magic were a team with a real ceiling. They benefited from a lot of injuries going their way in for other teams in the East. You know, the Bucks dealt with a ton of injuries. The Cavs themselves had, Mitchell missed a ton of time. Garland missed a ton of time. Mobley missed time. Allen missed time. Obviously, Embiid for the 76ers. Just a weird regular season for Miami. I mean, Philadelphia was pacing to be the second seed pretty clearly before Embiid injured his meniscus. So it was kind of just a weird happenstance thing that the Magic ended up being able to get to the 5 seed. And in fact, I believe on the last day of the season, if things had went the right way, the Magic could have been the 2nd seed, which is, just sort of interesting because all those teams were so clustered, you know, between 50 and 47 wins. 47 wins was the 7 seed. 50 wins was the 2nd seed. They're just not a playoff team, right? I mean, the Orlando Magic were 100% effort, 100% intensity in the regular season. They won via playing defense. They beat bad teams. Their record against teams above 500 in the regular season was not that good, but they just were not losing a Tuesday night game in December to the Pistons. They just would refuse to lose those games the way that, you know, the Bucks just like kept losing these awful games. The Bucks last week of the season lost to the Wizards. You know, they just were not as serious. And, you know, it's good experience for Banchero, good experience for Jonathan Isaac to start in the playoffs. I think the Wagner brothers, Franz and Mo, they're going to be part of this rotation for a long time. But what can you do? I mean, they don't have one player who is as good on offense as Darius Garland, the second best player. In fact, Caris LeVert, I mean, if Caris LeVert was one of the starting guards for the Orlando Magic, I mean, how much better would they be just with a guy who could just like be creative and you know, shoot step back threes and just like operate out of isolation? Because they don't have anyone. I mean, Banchero is the guy like that, but Banchero is a 20-year-old, you know, power forward who, you know, he can put the ball on the floor all right. Like, he's not terrible at it, but he's not going to initiate your offense. This is not Nikola Jokic. Like, it's just a different skill set. So the NBA TV series is NBA TVing. You know, this is pretty much what we expected.
Let's reassess the lines here in this series, because you're taking a look at Cleveland now, a monster favorite. Money line to win the series is a minus 800 price. If you still want that dog price or an Orlando figure that can come up big down in O-Town, that's a plus 520 price. Spread now, Cleveland, -2.5 games at a minus 150. If you want Orlando, +2.5 games, that's a plus 122 price. The leader in the clubhouse right now is at a gentleman sweep. 5 games at a 2-1 price. Game 4, if it is a sweep, that's plus 230 here. We'll see what happens. But let me ask you this question on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Are we sleeping on them a little bit or no? They're just playing the Orlando Magic. Don't worry about it. Whoever they match up in the next series, we'll see the warts of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Could they catch fire and be the team that maybe we anticipated back in September, but not what we got here throughout March and April?
Yeah, I think it's mostly about the opposition that they are playing. The championship ceiling for the Cavaliers, I don't buy it. There just really has not been a solution this season for how Mobley and Allen can play together. Mobley has not really improved as a three-point shooter, which is what you would need on offense for him to succeed. And he has not improved defensively enough for you to be like, all right, well, we can trade Jared Allen, who was an all-star last season, where the ideal thing for Mobley to do would either to become really great defensively, like so good defensively that he could operate as a center, or so good offensively that you can have, you know, a Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert pairing style. Like, that pairing totally worked out for the Timberwolves. Cat, not that good defensively, really strong offensively. Gobert, not a jump shooter at all, but basically the best defensive center in the NBA. That's what you have to have in the modern NBA to play two guys who are 7 feet tall. You know, if both guys are all right defensively, it doesn't work because you are giving up too much spacing on offense. And if both of them are great offensively, but mediocre defenders, well, then you're just, you know, you have to have a good defensive center or you can't win in the NBA. So, you know, when it comes to who they play in the next round, I would probably be picking against them.
Let's reset some odds here for the NBA championship at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Some of these lines are getting a lot shorter, and that includes the Boston Celtics, a plus 130 price to cut down the Nets. You take a look at the Denver Nuggets, who are roughly a 3-1 price entering in. They're now down to a plus 210 after their 2-0 series lead against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Clippers at 14-1, OKC 15-1, Milwaukee Bucks 17-1, Knicks 18-1. Those are the teams that are 20-1 or less. Are we seeing any value, or is it just so simple to say, hey, Take the Scottie Scheffler. Take the UConn approach. Don't worry about it. Just take the best teams. They'll handle their business.
I guess the way I would think of it would be, what would the series price be between the Celtics and the Nuggets? So I think the Celtics would be favored. They'd probably be like, what do you think, like -115, -120, something like that against the Nuggets. The Nuggets would drop to like +150, +140, something is right about in that range, which means I guess if you were going to bet one of them right now in hope of getting better future value, it would be the Celtics, because that's going to be the more dramatic shift in pricing. That being said, I don't think that either of those are particularly bettable, and I'm not that interested in, you know, holding a +150 wager for the next 6 weeks. I do think the Thunder or the Clippers are the, you know, the best odds there relative to what could happen, because again, the series price between either of them against the Nuggets, that gap is going to shrink quite a bit. I mean, I think the Thunder would be like 4-1, or the Clippers would be like 4-5-1 to win that series against the Nuggets. And really, I suppose what you would be betting would just simply be that the Celtics choke the way that they have for each of the last five seasons, that they get to the finals, they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and they just can't score in the late game offense. Also, at 37-1 is probably not good enough, but if you could get like 40-1, 45-1 on the 76ers, and they end up winning the series against the Knicks, and Embiid is fully healthy, he gets rest, I think the 76ers are the only team in the Eastern Conference who can beat the Celtics in a seven-game series, which I know feels crazy because they're down 0-2 to the Knicks. But I think Embiid is that good. He's the only guy in the Eastern Conference capable of being the best player in a series against the Celtics. So I think Clippers, Thunder, and 76ers are all like minorly bettable.
Let me ask you this quick question about the Milwaukee Bucks coming in at 17-1 price. Could we catch that lightning in a bottle and recapture like the greatness of the Bucks? Or is it the problem just like we just don't know what Doc Rivers is going to give us here as an edge moving forward as a head coach? Because if Dame can live up to that Dame hype in Portland, then you get a healthy Giannis back into the equation and they're ahead in that series and they advance. Is there anything that we can look at that 17-1 price with the Bucks here, Davis?
You know, I just am not, I'm not really a believer. I think the team is going to be cautious with Giannis. I think they're not going to get him back soon. And like, they could definitely lose this series to the Pacers. And I wouldn't even really have that much faith in the Bucks in a series against the Celtics, even if Giannis was 100% good to go. So I'm probably leaving them.
We'll see what happens, but exciting times in the NBA. Odds are changing on a day-to-day basis, but let's enjoy these triple headers and double headers as long as we have them here. Let's see what happened on the diamond yesterday. Big doings, a streaking team in Philadelphia, and much, much more. We'll return next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball yesterday in a big way. Did you hit some RBI props? Did you bet some strikeout props? Were you looking good yesterday? Because some teams are streaking and some teams are breaking their streaks here. One game we want to take a look at yesterday in the Keystone State. How about this? The Pittsburgh Pirates finally got a win. It feels like they haven't won since opening day, 4-2 over the Brewers. The Brewers, who came into that game at 14-6 overall, dropped to 14-7. The Pirates, who were .500, now go a game above .500 and sit at 12-11. Jones, 2-2 now in the season. Ross, 1-2 on the season. Nice win there for the Pirates. Finally, as we like to say, Davis.
Finally for the Pirates. I mean, we were pretty confident in this spot. We picked the Pirates on the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. We got 91 pitches from Jared Jones, which is what I said yesterday. I said 59 pitches from Jared Jones. I don't know if I want to be on the Pirates, but 91 pitches from Jared Jones. And I don't know if you saw this. He threw one of the nastiest pitches I have ever seen to Bryce Terang. It was like, I don't even know what you would call it. I guess it is a slider, but it started way outside the zone on the outside, came all the way in, and buckled Bryce Terang. I mean, he fell over at how good this pitch was. I love watching these young new pitchers come up, and I am very, very excited for the debut of one Mr. Paul Skeens for the Pittsburgh Pirates, which I feel is coming sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, hopefully he gets brought up to the major leagues, but at the same time, like, hey, let's take it slow here. Let's have him throw 30 pitches a start in the minor leagues. Stop it, man. Stop the madness. Bring the guy up. If you have to prepay for a Tommy John, don't worry about it. Let him rip at the major league level. Now, you want to talk about a team ripping at the major league level? That's the Philadelphia Phillies right now. 7-0 win, 7 straight victories for the Philadelphia Phillies as they now improve to 15-8 on the season, 5-2 away in that 7-0 victory over the Reds, who the Reds came in at 12-9, have dropped now to 12-10. The bigger story here for this season, usually we're talking about the Philadelphia Phillies, their top two starters, and maybe some of the big boppers at the plate hitting home runs. But the Phillies pitching staff as a whole, that starting staff, has been phenomenal. And how about maybe the best of it right now? Ranger Suarez improves to 4-0 on the season after going 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 earned runs, 5 Ks, and only 1 walk, lowering his ERA on the season to 1.36. Pretty impressive for Ranger here.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Not something that you would have anticipated or projected for the Philadelphia Phillies heading into the season. This game for me was a little bit more about the Hunter Green experience. He was able to get in, you know, 7 innings in, but those 7 innings, they did come with 6 strikeouts and only 2 walks, but 4 earned runs, gave up some extra base hits to Real Muto and to Bohm. Not what you want to be doing against them. And our guy, Ellie De La Cruz, still down in 6th in the lineup, struck out twice in 3 plate appearances. Again, I mean, I think probably the Reds should just move him up to lead off and just let him get as many plate appearances as he could possibly get. It's what the Pirates did with O'Neill Cruz. They started him out, batting deeper down the order. Cruz continues to strike out, not take as many walks as you would like. And also, they're getting nothing out of Jaime Candelario and Christian Encarnacion Strand. Candelario getting nothing, I mean, it's probably fine. But Encarnacion Strand, I mean, they chose him over franchise legend Joey Votto, right? Joey Votto could be manning first base / DH for them. And instead, they're going with the young guy. The young guy has not done anything yet. And the Reds are another one of these weird teams where the start of the preseason, you know, start of spring training, they were like, oh, we have too many guys. We have too many. We don't have enough available lineup spots for all these young guys we want to play. And we are, you know, a month into the season and Santiago Espinal is playing every single day, which I guess just does go to show you, like, you don't know how injuries and all those things are going to work out for these teams.
Injury's not hurting the Atlanta Braves right now as they went 3-0 yesterday over the Miami Marlins. The Marlins dropping to 6-18 on the season. The Braves improving to 15-6, trying to hold off the Philadelphia Phillies. But Elder comes back here in Major League Baseball. 6 2/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, no earned runs, no walks, and 4 Ks. So that was a great start for him. But as we know, the bullpen of the Atlanta Braves is a real strength. 3 pitchers come in, Johnson, Minter, and Iglesias, and shut the door here on the Marlins, who seem to be struggling here, to say the least, in 2024. Got a decent start out of Weathers. Goes 5 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs. So a quality start there, but just nothing in the tank at the plate here for the Marlins last night, Davis.
I mean, Miami is 6-18. That is a worse record than the Oakland Athletics. That is tied in the loss column with the Colorado Rockies. The only team they've been better than thus far is the Chicago White Sox. They got no hitters. I mean, they just have no one who can hit. Josh Bell can't hit. Luis Arraez, you know, was hitting like about, you know, 600 at this stage last year. He can't hit. Tim Anderson can't hit. Nick Gordon can't hit. Jesus Sanchez, who was supposed to be, you know, that was supposed to be the guy who was going to come up and have enough power to hit home runs in that stadium and be their DH, their first base, their 35 home runs a year guy. He can't hit. I mean, really, the only guy on the roster who looks like he could even fetch anything in a trade is Jazz Chisholm Jr., who's not even having a great season. You know, I mean, he's been fine, I suppose, to start this year, but I don't even know what you do. Like, the Miami Marlins, they got nothing. I mean, they do have the pitching, I suppose. Like, the pitching has all been kind of good, but what do you even do with this 25-man roster? I don't even know.
Yeah, it doesn't look like big good times there down for Miami. But also, take a look at a team that didn't start the year all that well, quite like the Marlins, was the New York Mets, but sort of got their season back together. Came into the game yesterday at 12-9. They dropped to 12-10. Why? Because the San Francisco Giants, 5-2 over the New York Mets. Take a look at this game as, look, Pete Alonso hit a home run yesterday, trying to do everything he can for this lineup, but it doesn't help when guys like Francisco Lindor, just above him, 0-for-3 yesterday with two strikeouts, a 182 batting average. If we look at the pitching matchup last night, Quintana, 5 innings pitched, 5 earned runs. Not going to win very many games if your starting pitchers are giving up 5 earned runs. Win came in yesterday for the Giants, 6 innings pitched and only 1 earned run, which was that home run from Pete Alonso. Crazy times there. Nice little win here for the Giants trying to get back to 500, Davis.
I mean, here's something I don't understand. The New York Mets have this giga billionaire owner. How do you not have a DH? I mean, how do you actually not have a DH as a team? Like DJ Stewart, you know, a cast off from the Baltimore Orioles, that's your DH. You're not going to win very many Jose Quintana starts anyways, but I just, every time I look at one of these super rich teams and they don't have a DH, I'm like, what's the plan here? What is the plan, Mets?
It used to feel like that way when the National League just played the American League. It's like, hey, throw our utility guy as a DH. That was always the major advantage for the American League because they had a big bopper there. Come on, Mets, spend some money out here. Let's take a look at Oakland knocking off the Yankees next in the bottom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's keep up the Major League Baseball recaps from yesterday. An important game on the diamond was with the New York Yankees and the Oakland Athletics. Why? How about this? Oakland trying to fight for double-digit wins in the month of April. Who would have saw that coming? But how about yesterday as a major underdog, a 2-0 win over the New York Yankees, which saw J.P. Sears and Carlos Rodon pitching duel in the Bronx in the afternoon. Sears, 6 innings pitched, 3 hits, no earned runs, 1 walk, and 7 Ks, bringing his ERA for the season down to 3.38. Carlos Rodon, 7 innings pitched, 1 hit, no earned runs, 2 walks, and 4 Ks, bringing his ERA down to 2.70. If you would have told me yesterday, Davis, before this game got underway, by the way, Rodon's going to pitch 7 innings, not give up a single run. The Yankees, you would have thought, probably would have had a runaway victory, but their bats were absolutely ice cold, and the better bullpen yesterday was with the Oakland Athletics.
It was. I mean, look, this is early season baseball. This is why we don't lay minus 250 in early season baseball games. Really, I'm probably not laying minus. Maybe I'm not a good enough better, but I'm not laying minus 250 in too many baseball games. I've never seen this before. Month into the season, of the everyday starters for the Oakland Athletics, not one guy is above league average in OPS plus. If you put in Tyler Nevin as the DH, then you can get there. He is 102 in OPS plus. Brent Rooker off the bench is 120 OPS plus. But they're just, you know, look, it's early season. The only part of the Oakland Athletics that gets me excited is their closer, Mason Miller. I mean, he's pretty much watch baseball. He's really good to watch. And Paul Blackburn has been very good as well, but you know, the Oakland Athletics don't care about their organization. Baseball doesn't care about the Oakland Athletics, so I'm not really that inspired to care about Oakland A's baseball either.
The one thing they might have to care about is I remember when the owner had that press conference in Sacramento and said, you can see guys like Aaron Judge come out here and hit home runs. Aaron Judge better just worry about getting singles here as he drops to 174, I believe, on the season with his batting average. Come on now, Aaron. Time to wake up, or at least that hitting weather comes around. Maybe he will. Take a look at the Baltimore Orioles, which I saw a TikTok going around here at the Sports Grid Network with Davis Maddox saying, yeah, we're all over the Orioles. And how about that? A 4-0 lead turns into a 4-2 victory over the Los Angeles Angels. Yesterday on the mound, if you're looking from an Orioles pitching perspective, got a pretty good start out of Suarez. 5 2/3 innings pitched, 4 hits, no earned runs, 5 strikeouts here. Nice start for him. Nice win for the Orioles. Now 15-7 on the season.
Yeah, this was my favorite play yesterday when I went on for El Coast to Coast for baseball. I just, in general, am going to be taking the Orioles as a money line dog most of the time. They didn't actually get this one done via hitting. They got a very, I think, an unexpectedly good start out of Suarez. 5 Ks, only 2 walks in this game. Detmers allowed 2 home runs, which is like, you know, that's what the Orioles are. So what the Orioles are going to do. Rutschman had a double. They got a home run out of McCann. And then Colton Cowser, home runs in back-to-back games. You know, if you're an Orioles fan, just pretend that Colton Cowser's stats are Jackson Holiday stats, and you're going to be feeling very good. Kowser was not expected to be, I mean, Kowser really was not expected to be a breakout guy this season at all. He was kind of all their very highly regarded, you know, top 100 Baseball America prospects. Kowser was the one who was, you know, just kind of neglected there, but he has been a real revelation for them. And I wonder if he might send Santander down the order. Santander is still batting fourth for them every single night. I wonder if they end up swapping that fairly soon.
It's like the San Francisco 49ers say, don't look at all the first round draft picks we gave up for Trey Lance. Just look at the draft pick and how great Brock Purdy is. If you said Brock Purdy was the guy we traded up for, you would love that decision here. Works in both directions. Let's take a look at that AL East, the Orioles, Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox, and Rays. 12 wins or more for everybody. And those first place Baltimore Orioles at 15-7 overall. If we're looking at the odds to win that division here, the Yankees plus 105, the Orioles plus 180, the Blue Jays plus 650, raised 9-1 and a 25-1 price here for the Boston Red Sox. Do we have value on those Baltimore Orioles right now, Davis?
Well, it was plus 215 yesterday. It moved, you know, it moved pretty good yesterday. We talked about this yesterday. I talked about it with Carver yesterday. The Orioles are not only the best team in this division, I'm pretty certain they're the best team in the American League overall. I mean, they solved their pitching problem, not having an ace. They got in Corbin Burns. Grayson Rodriguez went from being a prospect to being a pitcher, just a good major league pitcher. They have the most exciting 1-9 lineup in baseball. They've got a bunch of guys they can call up. They've got trades to make. The Baltimore Orioles, I think, are going to win the American League pennant.
Everybody in the AL East at least 500 or better with a minimum of 12 wins. And as we told you, the first place Baltimore Orioles with 15 wins. Hour number two coming up next. Davis wants to talk the NFL draft. Davis is going to talk the NFL draft next.